Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Well, we miss Ronnie. Ronnie is high-end left tackle in the NFL, right? So I don't care who replaces him. They're not going to replace him. So that being said, I thought Joe went out there and battled. I'm sure he would like to take some of his snaps back, but I think he went out and battled, did a solid job for us. But we do miss Ronnie.
Well, that's George Warhop during the bye. At least he admitted
it. Yeah, that wasn't a complete gaslight.
Yeah, Joe Noteboom would like some snaps back. And he's talking about Ronnie Stanley and the ankle. And Ronnie Stanley, if you're just tuning in, the Ravens put out their injury report, did a walkthrough day before flying to Miami. Everybody was full, and there is no injury status for the game for anyone. So everyone will be playing tomorrow night. Ronnie Stanley did leave the game against the Bears. My understanding, though, had nothing to do with the ankle. He did come back. But he's been limited this week with an ankle before today. So that has to be a concern, being that that's been the year so far for Ronnie. But confidence level that this O-line can hold up moving forward.
Well, I think that, you know, look, this shouldn't be a knock on Joe Noteboom. Joe Noteboom's got no business being a team that fancies itself a Super Bowl contender's only backup tackle. A lot's been asked of him. Look, I think this is going to be a different test. And I know Miami hasn't been great. They're not great. But they've got two bookend pass rushers who are pretty good. They are a fairly desperate team. They're going to be at home. And we have not seen this Ravens team have to play on the road. And it is very different for an offensive line on the road than at home. And even when they were a solid five-man unit a year ago, an above-average five-man unit a year ago, home road, it tends to road tends out to bring out more of your flaws and your warts. And when last we saw them on the road at Arrowhead, it was pretty ugly and included the quarterback being out and missing the better part of a month. So I think this will, in a short week with Lamar still not really, I mean, you don't really practice much this week. It really wasn't much of a week in terms of practice. I think you're looking at a situation where it could be not as smooth as it was at home. And I think these pass rushers are going to challenge them. And Anthony Weaver has a sense of what these guys want to do and try to do. And I think he's going to play some games. I think he knows that twists and stunts have given him trouble. I think he knows that taking an outside pass rusher and putting him inside and letting him try to get a double on any one of these guards can be a real problem. I think he knows that A-gap blitzes at times have been a problem. And you know, again, when we last saw Lamar, and it's been a minute, stepping up into the pocket and finding any joy wasn't real easy for him. Now he was a little hobbled because of the injury. Maybe he's feeling better now, whatever. But, yeah, I think it's, we're going to find out more about them because the road is tough and they haven't been good.
We haven't seen this offensive line have back-to-back solid games all year long. And I did think that they were solid against the Bears. Now, can they stack it a couple days later in Miami? Like I said earlier, I don't think Miami's the most hostile place in the world to play. There's going to be a lot of Ravens fans there. I think we'll find out more in the road games to come when they go to Minnesota, Cleveland.
Minnesota's loud. Yeah.
Pittsburgh, Green Bay. Like, I think that's when the crowd will really have an effect on this unit. But this is a game in which the offensive line, you're hoping that they can stack it. The Dolphins have really struggled to defend the run, even though they are coming off a game in which they were able to shut down Bijan Robinson and the Falcons offense in general. But with Lamar Jackson coming back, he can also kind of mask some of the deficiencies of that offensive line as well.
Jason, this is going to be the first game this season that Patrick Ricard, Lamar Jackson, and Derrick Henry will play together. And you have your offensive line, whatever you think of it. Ronnie Stanley will be at left tackle. Does that do you feel like that bodes well for them that they finally...
Better than the alternative.
Yeah.
But, I think they're short at tackle, and I think they're going to find themselves short at tackle at some point here, and I think it's a long road to go with Ronnie. And that early bye was great in a lot of ways, but Ronnie went into it banged up, and he's coming out of it a little bit banged up, and that ankle is, it's not, I don't know how stable it is. He thought he was done 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think that's what it is, and that's going to be a week-to-week proposition. And yeah, Ricard will help, and full complement of tight ends will help. But I don't know that it's going to help him be able to play 70 snaps a game or with this offense, 45, 50 snaps a game for another 2.5 months. Yeah. I'm not sure about that.
And him in particular on this short turnaround, because Ken, as you mentioned, when he had to leave the game on Sunday, it wasn't the ankle, but the injury report listing the ankle, and that's going to be a thing the rest of the way, and he was limited Monday and Tuesday. I know the practice workload isn't all that much, but still something to monitor.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. And the other thing that I feel bears repeating is the fact that they have chosen, and Jason, I thought you hit the nail on the head, the fact that they have not made a change on the offensive line, even though we thought coming out of the bye they'd make a change, really speaks volumes about what they know they have behind this five-man unit. Not only the tackles, but the guards as well.
Yeah, I mean, and we're going to talk about trade deadline at the end of the show. Like, I mean, there's we're talking about mid-level, fortifications. This is another area that's screaming out for it, but it's also another area that's been screaming out for it since March. And I mean, you heard Warhop, and he said a lot of stuff 2 weeks ago, whatever it was, that was kind of poppycock. But you ain't got a left tackle. You ain't got an offensive line. And even he conceded that what they were asking Nope Boom to do was probably more than he could do. And I think there's more Nope Boom in our future. Like, he's. I mean, I just do. I mean, you think you're getting 10 games out of Ronnie Stanley from here on out, 10 straight games? I don't.
Probably not.
Yeah, it doesn't seem. I want to be an optimist, but they're gonna be massaging this ankle situation probably for the rest of the season. And at the very least, Ronnie's going to get a vet day every week at practice, I would think. I think he got one before the Bears game, and obviously this is a short practice week. We can be hopeful now, and you said we're going to touch on trade deadline at 5:30. It's not like tackles are available in the trade market, so that should be interesting. But coming up next, we're going to take a look at the Ravens' opponent tomorrow, the Miami Dolphins. We'll hear from Tua Tagovailoa on a number of topics, including narking on guys in his own locker room. But what's he think of Lamar Jackson? And much more as we start really nailing down on these Dolphins next here on The Fan.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Well, I think it starts with the leadership in helping articulate that for the guys, and then what we're expecting out of the guys, right? We're expecting this. Are we getting that? Are we not getting that? We have guys showing up to player-only meetings late, guys not showing up to player-only meetings. Like, there's a lot that goes into that. Do we have to make this mandatory? Do we not have to make this mandatory? So it's a lot of things of that nature that we got to get cleaned up, and it starts with the little things like that.
So that was Tua Tagovailoa a few weeks ago. I think that was after they lost to the Chargers 29-27, and he started narking on his teammates, and they reacted to that by losing to the Browns 31-6, and we all thought, okay, Mike McDaniel's getting fired because they play the Falcons in Atlanta and then a short week for the Ravens, so if they don't fire him before the Atlanta game, they're not firing before the Ravens game. They go out and beat the Falcons, and now here they are, Jason, about to take on the Ravens tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, it's a crazy league. It really is week to week. Things happen quickly. That is still one of the more, I mean, every time I hear it and I know what's coming, it's like, I can't believe he said that.
Yeah.
And then they went, as you said, he had back-to-back weeks where he throws three picks, and then they beat down Atlanta starting really from the first drive of that game until the fourth quarter when it didn't really matter anymore. Look, it's not the Dolphins offense from past Ravens Dolphins meetings. Only 286 yards per game, that's 28th. Only 5.2 yards per play, that's 22nd in the league. The run game, which that outside zone that McDaniel was the run game coordinator for Kyle Shanahan and his daddy, Mike Shanahan, back in the day with the Broncos, really leaned heavily into that outside zone stuff. It was something that they could do better than anybody else, and not so much this year. 4.1 yards per carry on outside zone. That's just 19th in the NFL. Has been a little better lately. Pitch plays in general. I mean, those outside, off-tackle, pitch plays, sprint, you know, sprint sweeps. They're only 13th in the league on pitch plays, 5.0 yards per carry. And overall, they're 11th, 4.5 per carry overall rushing the ball. But they can't get enough volume in it because they're always trailing. So as a team, they're running for less than 100 yards a game. Again, this is unthinkable compared to the versions of this offense that the Ravens have faced over the last, you know, 3 years. So you've got the lack of explosives in the ground game now because the outside zone and the pitch plays aren't gouging people. And then you lose Tyreek Hill, who had become more of a decoy than a go-to, but still gave you at least a threat of a deep guy. And this quarterback doesn't want to push it deep downfield very often. So the whole scope of this thing is constricted. And you look at a heat map and you see where Tua throws the ball and there's like one big circle to the left and one big circle to the right. Like, and so what happens? Everybody knows where the ball's going. That's part of the reason he's getting picked off so much. But when you average 6.6 air yards per attempt, I mean, it's 29th in the league. Like, there's not many people throwing the ball shorter than him. Like, Cam Ward, I mean, there's not many. The scope of this offense has just plain shrunk. They're getting Waddle the ball in different ways, and they're going to have to continue to do that. And I think Achane, if they throw it to him 15 times in this game, could be a problem. I'm not sure they're going to be able to throw it to him 15 times. But this is not the offense. If you haven't watched the Dolphins in a couple years, and I'm not saying they won't break out in this game. Maybe they will. But no Hill, no Waller, that's really hurt them in the red zone. That's really hurt them in terms of explosives. And we'll see. I mean, they might be able to run the ball down the Ravens' throats.
Given the fact that Tua is not pushing the ball downfield at all, you said 29th in air yards per attempt, this should be a big Kyle Hamilton game. With these past couple of games in which seen his usage in the box go up exponentially.
Yeah, I mean, everything is coming out of Tua's hand. And now this is the other thing. It's coming out really quickly. And their offensive line has been much maligned. Played a lot better against Atlanta, who finally does have at least a semblance of a pass rush for the first time in forever. And remember, that game was in Atlanta. It was in the Dome. I think he will get. He's getting rid of the. He was holding the ball too long as well. So if you hold the ball forever and you still only throw it 6 yards downfield in the air, that's a problem. So his clock got sped back up in that Atlanta game. The ball was coming out a lot quicker, and I think the ball is going to come out really quick here. I don't think Van Noy and co. are going to do a whole lot of damage to him. It's got to be Roquan and Hamilton in sort of shallow coverage, maybe even the corners when they're press man getting involved. I think that's going to – you kind of know where – he wants to get rid of the ball.
We know that this is a limited Dolphins team, and we spent a lot of the week just talking about all of their deficiencies, but it is worth noting that they've only been blown out twice. The Colts game and the Browns game. Remember in Buffalo, that was a Thursday game? That was a game into the fourth quarter. The Patriots was one score. They could have easily beat the Chargers. So it's not like they're getting thumped every single week either.
No. So if you're just tuning in, Lamar Jackson will play tomorrow night. He's off the injury report. Nobody on the Ravens has an injury status.
And historically, them having home games, now it's more day games than night games because of the heat and humidity.
Sure.
But they're usually pretty tough, at least hang with you, in September and October, because especially the way that stadium's designed, if you're playing a 1 o'clock game and the sun's beating right down on the visitor sideline. Now, again, this is at night.
It's going to be in the 70s. Of a factor. Yeah.
Yeah, they've only had three home games, and that was the Patriots game, 33-27 loss. That was one score game. They beat the Jets, and then that Chargers game that I was referencing.
Let's hear Tua talk about his respect for the other quarterback, Lamar Jackson.
I got a lot of respect for Lamar. The things that he's done throughout his career. I can vividly remember when I was in college. I think he was in the NFL, and he reached out to me. And, you know, like, told me that I was balling, and I thought that was, like, one of the coolest things. I think that was the year he won the MVP. But just the amount of respect that I have for him, who he is as a player, and then, you know, I've been hearing talks about, you know, what people say about him and whatnot and how he handles himself and how he goes about his business. Very respectable, very commendable. And he's a baller. Like, that's just flat out what he is, and that's what he does. He's a game changer with what he can do in the pocket, throwing the ball deep on the run, and then he can, you know, make you miss with his legs as well. So I got a lot of respect for him.
Tua much more impressed with Lamar's football playing than he is with his own teammates coming to team meetings. He's very glowing about Lamar Jackson.
I would say, in general, a couple things to live by. The less time you spend worrying about what's inside a locker room, the better. And the less time you spend talking about any sort of team meetings,
correct,
players-only meetings, the better.
Yeah, that's never going to end well. I'm still shocked. As you said at the top, Jason, I'm shocked that came out of his mouth. Coming up next, though, this is the last game the Ravens will play before the trade deadline. So what do we expect the Ravens to do between now and Tuesday? We'll give you some thoughts next here on the...
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, what's up, Flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Fan.
It's a regular dialogue. It's a regular dialogue, sure. Hey, what have you heard? Yeah. You might call? Yeah. We're right across the hall from each other, so it's pretty regular. Multiple times a day.
Halloween is Friday, which means November is on Saturday. The trade deadline is November the 4th, so this is the last football game the Ravens will play before the deadline. They've already made one trade. They traded Adafe Owe to the Chargers for Loie Gilman in a fifth. But will the Ravens make more moves? And Jason, I'll start. Let's go down a hypothetical rabbit hole here. Assuming they win tomorrow against the Dolphins at 3-5, and there's a world where they're a game out of first place in the North if the Steelers lose to the Colts.
Sure.
What do you think the Ravens do between now and the 4th of November?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they're making a blockbuster. I don't think he's trading a first-round pick or a second-round pick, or even probably a third-round pick. But... can you find a swing tackle who you prefer to Noteboom? Can you find someone who could give you more than whatever you're hoping to see out of, I'm losing my mind, Lawson.
Carl Lawson, who they say may
who
play.
They just signed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you find another body who has NFL sacks in him in case Van Noy really hits the wall? I think D tackle's been the biggest needle on this team forever. And I think even if it's just a run stuffer, a potential run stuffer, a bigger body who you can mold a little bit, that you can Somebody you can get now who you don't necessarily think you'll be able to get on waivers if you start winning games and you get further down the waiver list if they just decide to cut him in 3 weeks anyway. I think certainly their fortifications. Is this going to be a thump their chest, we got Ngakoue, start planning the Super Bowl route kind of thing? No. Is it going to be a Roquan situation? No. Is it going to be a Marcus Peters situation? No. And those are all splashes they've made at the deadline.
Mm-hmm. And in your defense, Ngakoue was considered a splash when they made the deal. And
oh, they were feeling it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, big time. Pick? Yeah, big time.
I don't think we're going down that road. But I'd also be really surprised if they don't make a couple of moves.
Yeah, I think
and if they lose this game, it's a whole different proposition.
Yeah, sure.
We'll get to that. Assuming they win. I think they make moves. I don't expect them to be significant moves. It's kind of improving on the margins. Brought up a couple of possible reunions that would make sense. Calais Campbell, who has 3 sacks, which is more than anyone
played good
on
football
team. He's played well. And what about Kevin Zeitler? A reunion there at Tennessee. They're going to be open for business.
He never wanted to leave.
Older guy on a 1-year deal, not making much money in base salary. I think both of those make sense. They're not going to cost all that much in terms of draft pick compensation. But I think it's more of those type of moves as opposed to the big swing.
Zeitler's an interesting one. I don't think that costs you much at all.
No.
Especially and he even at this point in his career, he'd be an upgrade over both guards.
Yeah.
And he knows the team.
Is it Hottie down there?
Yeah, I think he is. Yeah, Jahad Ward. There. Yeah.
Hottie wouldn't cost much.
Let me ask you a question, Jason. So we talked about this a little earlier, but the audience constantly changes. But they take on the Dolphins. Yeah. They take on the Dolphins tomorrow. There are two guys on the Dolphins that are looking to get out. Jalen Phillips, Bradley Chubb. Is that too rich for their blood?
I'd be, based on what I've heard about what they're asking for those guys, I'd be really surprised if they did something of that magnitude. Chubb's making some decent money and Phillips wants a new, is in line for a big deal. I think, look, if they had run this gauntlet of the tough schedule early and they were 6-2, or whatever. What have they played? 7? Get five and two
instead of 2-5.
And you start looking at the path and 5-2 and looking at the rest of the AFC saying, okay, well, the Chiefs are back, sure. But like, are we can't beat the Broncos or the Colts in the playoffs. Buffalo looks pretty beatable right now. I have a hard time thinking in that scenario, knowing that a window, at least for part of this roster is closing, that they wouldn't consider it. But I just think now the Owe deal was a portal into them knowing that long term they've got to look. Owe created made a short term weakness a bigger weakness, but long term they freed up money, they gave themselves flexibility, and he's a guy who wasn't going to be back here making even 13 a year anymore. He wasn't going to be back here under any circumstance. So there's other guys who fit that description, as well. And Andrews, Van Noy, they lose this game.
Yeah, that's about to get to that.
I would imagine they are making multiple trades. I mean, look, not like Derrick Henry where you're waving the white flag. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you could make the argument that, hey, we're not getting much out of Mark Andrews. Maybe he is kind of clogging things up for likely. We can play with our personnel a little different without him. We probably should have done this in the summer anyway. Let's move on and take the pick and whatever. You'd make that case with Van Noy. You could make that case
anyone on
with a few other year. People.
Yeah, anyone on the final year of their deal. You're listening to conversations for
I mean,
sure.
They lose this game. I would be on the phone like I'd be finding out. Like I don't think there's a lot of corners out there. I'd be finding out what would somebody give me for Marlon Humphrey. Like I would be looking to. I'd be looking to work it. You lose this game with the roster you have and. The landscape being what it is, and knowing this is it for Ron, you need a left tackle. Your center's leaving as a free agent. You don't have any pass rushers to begin with. You need 2 or 3 of those. Like, you're going to need corners. I don't see how you wouldn't start And there's not that many sellers out there. I don't know why you wouldn't start being creative.
You had an interesting thought earlier that there's a world in which they trade Mark Andrews, whether they win or lose this game.
I mean, I think if you could get some sort of fringe piece that you could say helps you now and you get a draft pick for later. Yeah, I do. I just don't think that 12 personnel with him and Likely on the field is where it's at. I mean, I think we've seen the best of Mark Andrews. When you start seeing the yards per route and yards per attempt drop, and this isn't even just this year. You start looking back to this time a year ago and then a year ago before that. And you look at all the holes, as I was saying, that they already have, and how reticent they are to use free agency to fill them to any great degree. And you look at the success they've had drafting tight ends and not even drafting tight ends all that high. Yeah, I think
if they win, you trade
could be a case to make
Andrews
to be made.
For like sort of like the Oway trade. You trade Andrews for a five and maybe a defensive tackle that upgrades because you don't have Brody for the rest of the year.
I'd be thinking about it. Absolutely.
Be an interesting turn of events. And also you're bullish in that case that now that Lamar's back and your offense is relatively healthy at the moment, that Isaiah Likely gets unlocked with Andrews gone.
He's got he's got five catches for 26 yards.
Two for eight Sunday.
We talked about this during TMI. The tight end group as a whole, 279 yards receiving. Third fewest output by a tight end group in the NFL. That's shocking if I would have told you that prior to the season.
Yeah, just to put it in perspective, I was curious about this earlier. Now, Aronde Gadsden the second, who is the son of Aronde Gadsden, the Chargers rookie tight end, through this season so far.
Gadsden's from Syracuse.
He's got 385 yards receiving.
So he fifth round pick. The Ravens by
I mean, it's just not happening here. And so maybe the vibes change and maybe Likely feels better and just fully emerges. And they've got a lot of, now that the fullback's back too, you got a lot of assets sort of over there.
Yeah.
And maybe D-Hop could do a little more than he's doing. I know he's not a tight end, but I mean, you're putting Andrews out.
Big body, doesn't beat people with his legs.
Chain mover. I just.
I think he'd like the ball a little more.
Sure.
So, yeah.
I mean, what receiver wouldn't?
Yeah, they I think they all get upset when they don't get enough touches. Alas, we'll come back at the text of the day. Preview tomorrow's show will be on a remote, Green Turtle and Gambrels. And we'll get you ready for Infinity Sports Radio, followed by Game 5 of the World Series. ESPN's coverage pregame starts at 7 here on The Fan. Tomorrow, we will be broadcasting live from the Green Turtle in Gambrels. That's till 5 o'clock because the Baltimore Game Day Uncensored pregame show starts at 5. Hour number one is myself and the Bone. And then the Bone.
I wonder if that's the geographically outside of Ocean City, the furthest remaining Green Turtle from where we are right now.
Is there one? Might be.
Timbuktu?
I'd have to Google that.
I'm trying to think.
Someone over there in Molly's country?
It could be. No, because they got I don't think they have one close to the one, the original one in Ocean City.
Is there one in famed suburb of Baltimore, York, Pennsylvania?
I don't think so.
Or Hershey?
No.
Is there one in Hershey?
I think it's
That'd be about as far.
I think it's Maryland only.
Is Edgewater further?
I think we did one in Edgewater once.
We did.
That was a good distance. That was that was a long time ago. I'm pretty sure it was after I broke my ankle. I was there. I remember limping in there.
Apparently, there's one in New York.
Really?
Right? Is that right? Yeah, I didn't realize there were ones outside.
I'm surprised we're not there.
We could. That is Ravens country.
Well, there you go.
I'm not aware of these. Are you sure it's the same Green Turtle?
It's got the
Logo.
Little turtle logo on the website. I did not know. There's a lot.
That checks out.
They're taking over the world.
Yeah, it sounds like it one step at a time.
Are they,
Bo? But we will be there. We will be there till 5.
Like, we can't just throw that around.
Yeah.
There are multiple states.
There used to be one down the street from me.
It's a positive. I'm saying take it over the world in a positive.
What's that text of the day?
Let me just real quick.
That's about the green turtle.
Yeah, real quick. We're there till 5 and then Baltimore Game Day on Censored pregames at 5.
Did you hear the first 10 people to be lined up to see Beltway Ben Hall in his wannabed?
You can win food for a year.
You can get Wendy's food for a year.
Man,
I might have to go. I got a lot going on Saturday.
I would go see Beltway Ben for nothing. But what's that? Baconators for a year?
How early do you think they'll be there? I bet they're camping out like college.
Yeah.
There'll be more people camping out for Beltway Ben's appearance at that Wendy's than will be wherever college the hell Park. That godforsaken Big Noon kickoff is on that nobody cares about. You'll have more people. You'll have a bigger tent city than Big Noon kickoff. He's got nothing to say about that.
Well, that's just to see Ben,
taking
too.
Yeah.
The food is extra.
And the wannabed bib. He's rocking the wannabed bib.
Think about this. You get to see Beltway Ben and you get a Frosty. That's a combo.
And a chance. You get free. You get betting advice.
Is there a cash cube?
There's some kind of cash cube. You get to see Ben. You get to see Ben in his bib in the outside world for the first time. Yeah. And you can maybe get free Wendy's for life.
A year. It's a year.
Well, you
don't false advertise.
Hey, how did we get it?
Ask if you whisper one of Ben's ear, maybe they can kick it up.
Yeah,
maybe they can make it 2 years. Two years, three years.
How did we get a cash cube in the budget?
Yeah.
How'd that happen?
Do we really know whose budget this is in?
It's a good question. I guess Wendy's might be supplying it.
Let's get the text of the day.
Check 1, 2. Check.
Text of the day comes from John in Baltimore, who says, would like to see the Ravens add somebody with multiple years left on their contract at the deadline, preferably an interior defensive lineman with Matabike's uncertainty moving forward.
Mazi Smith?
The ideal.
That Mazi Smith one's a good one. I hadn't thought about him, but that's been a colossal disappointment in Dallas.
They're looking to get him out of town.
Yeah, and he does have the Michigan ties.
I don't know how good he is. But.
Yeah, well, David Ajabo, Michigan guy, you know, that worked out. He was good against the run for a play Sunday.
I bet that text line is lit right now. Bone, can you see it from your thing?
What, of Ben? Can you monitor? Yes.
Can you see the text line?
Well, there's a delay with the
Yeah, that's
the
true. Yeah, you got to remember.
Nobody talks. There was someone who said there's a green turtle on Long Island.
Yeah, someone did say
Long Island. Let's do a show from there.
So my buddy Evan told me they do his company does the signage for them. They're opening one in Florida.
Look at that.
They're
taking over the world.
Literally.
Bone, you had it right.
Yeah. Do I get things wrong?
No, you do not.
Mostly on Fridays.
Yeah, it's true.
That is true.
That is very true.
Tomorrow's Thursday.
Yeah, and what do we have on tomorrow's show, Bone?
Tomorrow's show, we got Tony Gwynn Jr. joining us.
Talk World Series.
As well as Baldy. Preview on Thursday Night Football. Game day with Baldy. How great is that?
Wow. Baldy and the Gwynn.
1:30 kickoff for Bayern Munich on Saturday. Wow. How about that?
That was a good segue.
Ben will be nice and he'll be all, his belly will be full from all his favorite Wendy's treats.
He might be doing the show from Wendy's, right?
I'll be at College Park.
No, we're taping
it
Friday night.
I'll be at College Park by that time.
Probably. You'll be at College Park by then. Yeah, when you watch it on your phone?
There's a 0% chance.
Yeah. Ben, regale me with some soccer talk.
Sitter. Yes. Back of the net.
He cashed the soccer bet today. I pushed and lost. He won.
One of my favorite things that happens during this show is when you're watching a soccer match and during the break, you'll yell into the room to Ben about something that happened, and he looks at you like synapses looks at me when I try to.
That's true.
It is one of my favorite things.
When he gets his Harry Kane jersey for Christmas, though, that's going to change everything.
Oh,
Or maybe Borussia Mönchengladbach.
There you go. I'd love it. Get some Borussia Mönchengladbach.
I don't wear soccer things.
You don't.
Maybe a bib.
Did you ever wear? Did you ever wear a bib before?
No, but that's that and soccer are two different things.
Yeah,
I'm cashing bets.
That's a good point.
Soccer is a big reason why we're wearing the bib.
Yeah. Hey,
not me.
Infinity Sports Radio.
because of me and you.
You're right.
Yeah, but I'm saying when I get the bibs on, it's because of NBA and a lot of the other stuff.
Yeah, but if I have a big soccer night, everybody's putting
the one
bibs
time
on.
I give out soccer plays, I want a better loss.
But I thought you got a winner today.
He did. He didn't give it out.
He kept it to himself.
Yeah.
He didn't share it with the world.
Selfish.
Yeah. Let me go ramble about the sitters and the back of the nets.
They're going to be asking you at Wendy's for soccer bets, just so you know.
At the
I'm
six,
sending them there.
At the six.
The ones who camp out, They want your best soccer plays. They want them at 5:55 a.m.
You're clinical, Ben. Infinity Sports Radio coming up next.
Out the wazoo.
We'll be back tomorrow, too, live from the Green Turtle and Gambrels here on The Fan.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right. On audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.